Sustaining alive, sustaining alive. Sustaining alive on 95 BFM.
Kia ora and welcome to Michael Lowry, the Managing Director of Sea Shepherd New Zealand. How's it going, mate?
Not too bad. Yourself?
Great. Now that I'm talking to Mike Lowry, aka you obviously know about the Bad Boys movie, right? And that's
no, I've never actually watched it, and I've done that intentionally now because people keep saying it, so I've decided I'm never going to watch it. So we'll never know.
Good on you, man. Good on you.
Yeah.
Hey, is it fair to say that the Sea Shepherd is kind of like, if there was like a good guy pirate, that would be you guys?
Yeah, essentially. Mm. Yeah, with the good pirates of the sea.
Yeah.
That pirate sort of moniker or whatever was given to us. It wasn't something we originally ran with. Our official logo is a humpback whale,
right?
Or
right.
A couple of humpback whales, but sometimes flying the Jolly Roger can be quite effective. You know, you don't have to do much or something. If you just raise it up the flagpole, some poachers will just run, and your job is done.
Right, cool.
Now we've got you on the line to have a chat about the Russian fishing crews coming into the country to get on board those big old vessels that are working just off the coast of New Zealand. But I thought we should start off with a bit of history about Sea Shepherd and just some of the work that you guys do.
Yeah, we've been going since 77. Paul Watson set it up, and he was one of the co-founder of Greenpeace. He was sort of chucked out for being a little bit too aggressive, and he started Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, which were, you know, based in Canada and then in the States, originally opposing things like the seal slaughter in Canada,
right.
which got particularly ugly. And then probably what we're most well known for in the sort of 42, 43 year history would be the Southern Ocean campaigns, which is where the Australia and Sea Shepherd in New Zealand became sort of involved, because you know, we're the gateway to Antarctica. So
that went
on for a long time. That went on for like 11 years. And then we had some very successful anti-poaching campaigns, which is my favourite campaign. It was the Icefish campaign in 2015, where one of the vessels left from, it actually went from Auckland to Wellington, then into Antarctica, and the other one left from Australia. And they pulled up 75 kilometres of illegal toothfish line, and then the other vessel chased the Thunder across halfway across the globe to Africa, where the captain scuttled the ship. So
what does scuttle mean?
Scuttle means he sunk it. It was an illegal vessel that had been operating. It was called the Thunder. It had been operating for years, and toothfish is worth a lot of money.
He
scuttled it rather than being caught, but he ended up being they got him anyway, and he was he's actually still in prison, I believe. The officers were put in prison, and the crew were let go because they really had no idea where they were or what they were doing.
Yeah, the buck obviously stops at the captain, I guess, or whoever.
Yeah.
What about the people that kind of pay for the boat at that point? It's not always just the captain, eh? There's probably a bigger scene behind that, right?
Yeah, well, I think they're probably they try and hide who they are, but a lot of they tend to be Spanish. I wouldn't say Spanish mafia, but illegal Spanish fishing companies.
Okay.
Come out of there. There are some. Yeah, that's probably what they're most well known for. They're coming out of Spain, really.
How do you prep for a mission like that, where you go down to the Antarctic?
Well, I mean, this is, I suppose, it took over years and years. The first one, I think, in 2002, the first mission down there, we couldn't even find the fleet. So there was a steep learning curve.
Wow.
So because it's a big ocean, because we realised that they had radar that was more powerful than ours, so they just were moving away from us all the time. And so then it was years, I think it was a couple of years later, when we managed to get, I suppose, better equipment, better technology, and slowly it built up until we got some really good strategies, you know, finding the fleet, staying behind the stern, and so they couldn't, not so much stopping them from killing the whales, but you're stopping them from loading the whales. And if they couldn't load the whales, then they couldn't go and kill any more.
Right.
So that was quite an effective strategy for a while. But, it got quite complicated, sort of a chess game. And then, of course, New Zealand and Australia took the Japanese to the International Court of Justice. So that changed everything in 2013. So that's when the Japanese, they stopped for a couple of years.
Mm.
And then they, I think they went back for 1 year in, was it 2017, just to sort of I don't know, just to fly their flag, whatever, just to say they couldn't be told by anyone.
I was going to say test the waters.
But they stopped after that. They realised they couldn't continue, and they started killing whales in their own EEZ, which isn't great, really. It's probably better than killing them in a whale sanctuary.
They're so migratory, right? So they could be anyone's whales at that point.
Yeah, and also it's the integrity of the whale sanctuary, and it's a UN regulation, and no one should be down there killing whales.
Right on. Yeah.
But killing whales in their own EEZ is not great either, but I certainly wouldn't want to, not that I eat fish anymore, but I certainly wouldn't want to eat whales from the coast of Japan. That's for sure.
True. Fukushima.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Fuck, no one's talking about that, eh? It's still just seeping crap into the ocean, I think.
So I think the Japanese just worked out a way to save face as much as they could and just sort of slowly backed away and hoping no one would really notice.
Sea Shepherd, like, I find it hard to believe if this is true, but are you guys mostly volunteers or like?
Yeah, 95% volunteers. So I'm not paid in New Zealand and no one's paid in New Zealand. We've got a handful of people in Australia. But since the Southern Ocean stuff, we've done a lot of IUU stuff. So working with countries in Africa, protecting their fisheries, which sort of links back into this weird foreign crew thing in New Zealand, because some of that fish actually goes to countries that have lost their fish, which is kind of slightly ironic. We also have our own New Zealand campaign called Operation Pahu, and we're looking to upgrade to another vessel. A lot of these looking for a large donor that has got a big enough ego they want to put their name on a vessel.
How many boats have you got, roughly?
Well, around the world we've got probably about 13 or 14 large ones, so it'd be the largest private navy.
Wow.
Some of those are like yachts. Mm. Some of those would be 60 metres, some would be 30. In New Zealand, we've just got a couple of trailer boats, but that sort of suits the way that New Zealand is. But we are definitely looking to upgrade and hoping that someone like, you know, Lord or Gareth Morgan wants to put their name on the side of a vessel, which is the way that our other vessels work around the world, you know, the Bridget Bardo or the Sam Simon, who was the creator of The Simpsons, or Bob Barker's a game show host. So they donate the vessel, then we run it.
The creator of The Simpsons donated a vessel to you guys?
Yeah, Sam Simon was...
That's Matt.
One of the original guys. I think he left after a while, but he was one of the original creators. He's dead now, but he donated a $4 million. It was actually an ex-Japanese whaling vessel, ironically. So that's a recycling and process.
I see you've got an artist for Sea Shepherd as well. A nice picture here of Aerosmith on a boat.
Do you need pretty big boats because you're getting so
massive.
Far out to sea?
Some of them are serious, man.
Because you're 30 k's off the coast of New Zealand this weekend.
No, you just got to pick the right days. We were just in a 6.1 Surtees type vessel. But I mean, the Tasman Sea is pretty gnarly, right? You're going to have a big vessel like 60 metres or maybe 30 metres, maybe when it's 1 to 2 metres, or you just have to wait for a very calm day. And it's been pretty good the last few days.
Obviously, you guys have to be right on top of sort of maritime law, so you can kind of do what you can do. You just sort of get in the way of what, you know, like you get sprayed with jets and all sorts of stuff, but like how much kind of illegal stuff goes on from both parties?
Well, not anymore. I think we got that bit of a reputation in the 80s when, for example, when we rammed a couple of, the last pirate whaler in the Atlantic, boat called Sierra, which was operating out of Spain or Portugal, I think, that was just operating illegally. So in that case,
no rules.
It's international waters, so it did get rammed. And there's been some other Norwegian vessels that have been sunk in port with the bungs pulled out. But we've sort of, again, that's international waters, and those people were actually, you know, operating illegally, so therefore it's a little bit different. We don't do anything illegal in New Zealand waters, that's for sure.
Right on.
And now we're working with governments, you know, and working with the Mexican government. We're working with governments in Gabon, Tanzania, protecting their fisheries because they don't have the resources to protect their foreign fisheries. So what we're doing is protecting fisheries for them, which is slightly ironic, but it's better than just people coming and taking all their fish. Then, of course, the locals turn to things like piracy and stuff. So we've got a couple of campaigns over there with Kiwis on board. So, that's worked out quite well. It doesn't quite have the publicity of the anti-whaling campaign, so a lot of people don't realise it's happening. But you can check out our website. Lots of information on there about it.
Yeah, it's good.
Now, these Russian crews that are getting flown into manned fishing boats, tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's... it's kind of weird. I think the public and the media started realizing that was pretty strange, because why is the New Zealand fishing industry getting sort of treated significantly treated different from the rest of us in other industries?
With regard to COVID.
They weren't letting any horticultural workers in for fruit and veggies. And
yeah, I was about to mention that. Is it a similar thing where it's just kind of really crummy work or something that no one wants to do it from New Zealand?
Possibly, but there's also sort of deals going on. They were having those discussions in the media, like the horticulture, and they're saying, oh, please let the people from the islands come in. But these Russians just arrived, right?
Yeah.
And obviously the fishing industry paid for them, but they put them up in hotels, and they realised that 1 in 10 of them have COVID. And so 2 healthcare workers caught that in New Zealand. But also what they're doing is, this has been going on for 20, 25 years, so these fishing companies, rather than employing New Zealanders and developing an industry here, it's sort of like, they're catching very low-value fish. They're catching jack mackerel. They trawl for weeks on end. The jack mackerel is then processed on the vessel, so we're not even getting that value. We're not adding any value to this product. And that gets shipped to mainly places like China and Africa, and bizarrely enough, I think Cameroon is one of the biggest buyers of it. And so they're in the Gulf of Guinea, so they've probably lost a lot of their fisheries, right? So we've now got Russians coming here catching low value fish in relic Russian Ukrainian vessels from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and then we're sending that fish processed to Africa for people to eat.
Is it getting marketed as like New Zealand fish?
Oh, I don't think anyone would know. I tried to look that up, but it's really, I think once it gets there, it's anyone's guess, really.
Right.
The other product they do fish, they register for fish and fish meal. So the fish meal would end up in factory farming, so feeding pigs and salmon.
Damn.
And there's 7 of these vessels in New Zealand, and that gets quite strange too. Like 3 of them are from Independent Fisheries, which is a family-owned business in Christchurch, so all the profits from that go to 3 people.
Mm.
Sea Lord is the other one. They have 2 vessels, which, of course, that money's supposed to go back to iwi, and the trust that own Sea Lord, Te Ahu Kaimoana, is supposed to distribute that money to, iwi members. But Sea Lord, if anyone forgets, is half-owned by Nishu, who are a Japanese company.
Mm.
And you get a Japanese involvement. Nishu used to do the whale killing in Antarctica until people started complaining in the 2000s, so the government bought them out. But they're one of the 2nd biggest fishing, I think they're one of the largest fishing companies in Japan. And then the last 2 Ukrainian vessels, so 7 in total, belong to this mysterious Japanese company called Mahura, who are the 2nd biggest Japanese company. So I don't know where they get their quota from, because no foreigners can own New Zealand quotas. Mm. So someone is selling them a quota. That would have to be either Samford, it could be, or Tally's, but it's really hard to find that out.
Yeah.
So they're exporting some of that jack mackerel, for example, back to Japan for sort of like boutique sashimi, I believe.
It feels so Wild West, like
just people
doing whatever. Is there, this is kind of a tough question, but is there any, what is the most ethical fish that I can eat if I was going to?
I don't know. Well, you catch it yourself would be
smart.
Yeah, so that's one good thing. It's really hard to know. I mean, the Forest and Bird do the best fish guide, but I mean, I stopped eating fish 10 years ago. I mean,
because of what you're seeing,
just because I didn't really want to be part of it anymore. Not to judge anyone else, but I just didn't want to be part of it anymore. And I did love eating fish.
Mm.
So I don't really know the answer to that question. I think the oceans are in so much trouble these days.
I think what you said is probably the most righteous. Just catch your own, really, and
catch your own.
And then in that same aspect, only catch what you need.
What can people do if they want to get involved or learn more about what you guys are doing? Where do we go? Online?
Yeah, Sea Shepherd Global. I'm here at the website here, John. Looks good.
Yep, we've got our own site. So most of the countries have their own entities.
Oh, right.
So there's seashepherdnewzealand.org.nz. It looks very similar to the global site. So we've got our own website, and we have our own Facebook and Instagram page. If you go to the Sea Shepherd version of the of the website, you can see where you can volunteer online. You can also go on and buy our merchandise, which is pretty popular.
Yeah, looks gnarly.
And you can donate to our Operation Pahu, which we're running in the South Island, and we also do some work up here with Maui dolphins as well. And we've got a court case in the States at the moment, which is, you can read about that online as well.
What's the next mission for you?
Well, we've got this. It's been probably come out on Radio New Zealand tomorrow. It's been going on the media for, you know, bubbling under for about a year and a half. But we're working on this case in the States, which sounds a bit brutal, but it's basically with our colleagues in America, Sea Shepherd Legal and Sea Shepherd Conservation Society. We're putting an injunction to block imports of fish from the Maui habitat.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Americans have put in this really progressive law that says, trying to protect their consumers, saying we don't want to eat fish from an area where critically endangered species are being caught.
Mm.
So that's their new regulation. It came in under Obama, and it's probably the most progressive Marine Mammal Protection Act in the world. And they've warned all the countries that by 2022 they have to comply by this, otherwise they get their fisheries are going to be shut down and won't be able to export to the States. So a few countries are already ahead of that. Scotland has stopped shooting seals, and they're exporting their salmon to the US. And our government at the moment is fighting that, so they've teed up with an American fisheries agency, and we're about to go to court in the next sort of month or so, sort of battle it out.
I wonder if farming fish on land is a good thing.
Yeah, but you get a lot of, you have a lot of pollutants, right?
Yeah, you do. Yeah,
you've got a lot of waste.
Shits.
So. beans, mate. I don't know, but yeah.
No, just thinking.
Because salmon fisheries, of course, is you know, pretty polluting, and that's caused problems worldwide, including in New Zealand.
Yeah. Michael Lowry, Managing Director of Sea Shepherd, thanks so much for taking time to have a chat to BFM. It's
cool.
A bit of a privilege, actually.
Yeah, thanks very much, eh?
Cool as, man.
Appreciate it.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Cheers. See ya.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.